Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hamilton drives one down the right field line. Hits his extra bases if fair. And it is gone! That thing just kept on carrying. Why bunt when you can homer? It's 1-0 Red Sox.
Pitch.
Is strike three called on the outside corner, curveball, and the Red Sox win it. The bullpen was fabulous tonight. The Hamilton homer holds up, and the Red Sox win it 1-0, and they take 2 of 3 from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Our guy, David Hamilton.
I told you, put him in there.
Oh, we were like,
I said, play him.
More bats for that guy.
Jones was like, put Devers at third. I'm like, you're high on drugs.
Well, he was in second.
Well, I know, but yeah. Still, I wanted him in the lineup.
Yeah, no,
I
you wanted. Did.
You've been. David Hamilton needs those ABs. Cora was right about it. And that's what, you know, you're like, David Hamilton, home run power.
Yeah,
sock the ding dong.
I'm not sure how many ballparks that would be a home run in, but I
just
that,
the one.
How many major league parks?
That's
probably
not,
zero.
That's
minor
not,
league parks?
Not relevant.
Half.
That's what they were playing last night. That right. One counts.
Right.
So put that one on the board.
The Rays were played on that same field,
that's
all right?
That's true. That's a good point. Could they pop any over the wall?
No, they did not. Not last night.
They did not. So the Red Sox take the series. We got thoughts on them coming up. Real quick, because we talked to Field Yates in the draft preview series. We're talking to Greg in the opening segment. So I meant to bring this up earlier, and I want to toss it out there because it was, I think, relatively big news last night. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, says that Raiders left tackle Colton Miller, who I believe was a first-round pick a couple of years ago.
He was 2018.
Thank you. Is not currently participating in the voluntary offseason program as he seeks a contract extension, according to a source. Miller's 29, 7-year starter. He's a free agent in 2026, so 1 year left on his deal.
All right.
Vegas has not engaged in talks with the former first-round pick.
There it haven't is right engaged.
In front of my face. Haven't even engaged.
I think the Patriots should engage.
So
I think they should absolutely take a look at this.
So just so you know, because I wasn't sure how good of a player he was. I remember he was highly picked, but honestly, I don't know a ton about the Raiders' offensive line play.
Yeah, it's excellent.
The best metric you have is Pro Football Focus, I think, or some of these.
It's called the eyeball test, Jones. Pop on the tape. You'll see the Raiders.
He was, you know, top 15 tackle in football last year, which is pretty good. And he graded out well. So he'd be a massive upgrade over what you have. The idea would be, he's your left tackle that frees you up to not take Will Campbell or Membu or anybody else on the offensive line early. That would give you the opportunity to really take your best player available. If Carter or Hunter drop to you, or if that's Genty, Warren, Mason Graham, what have you, it would really free you up to do it. I already know you're interested based on your answer.
100%.
What does it take to get him? Do you go from 4 to 6? Raiders move up 2 spots, you drop down, you throw in something else late. Is it your extra third round pick? Like, what gets it done for Colton Miller? What would you do to get what seems like not an elite by any means left tackle, but a good left tackle to shore up your line?
So Laramie Tunsil got traded this offseason. Laramie Tunsil's been bounced around a little bit. He, I think, would be regarded as a better tackle than Colton Miller. And he, once you kind of strip down all the other things, basically went for a second round pick this time around. I think the first time he got traded, it was a first round pick. This time it was a second round pick.
Seeing a third rounder should get it done.
Yeah. Now I wonder,
would you drop from 4 to 6?
So I wonder in that scenario,
is that too rich?
Well, not to go full into this whole like Jimmy Johnson thing, but like, could if you go from 4 to 6, I think you might even get more back in return. That's significant to move up two spots there. So could you get like a third rounder and Colton Miller and six for four?
I'd want to know who the Raiders are taking. Like if, if they're coming up the board, they're giving you Miller and they're moving to four and they want Jenty, then I don't really want to do that. I kind of want to take Jenty at four. So I need to know who they're taking and I need to have a real good read on who Jacksonville's taking at five.
So Jacksonville could also take Jenty.
Of course.
I mean, so anybody could. I think at that point you have to say, all right, you now no longer need to take Will Campbell, but will somebody take Will Campbell? Right? Because if he doesn't, if he's still on the board, you're not going to draft him. Right? So again, go back to your big board. If the big board lines up with, let's say, Field Yates and, excuse me, the top guys are off the board, then Jenty goes, even Mason Graham, which I wouldn't want under the previous scenario where you don't have a Colton Miller, but let's say the Patriots really like him and then he goes five. So now you're sliding down to get this guy, but then you don't get any of the players you really want.
Right.
So there's got to be another trade you can make.
Okay.
Maybe it's flipping second round picks or something. I don't think it'd be,
I don't think it'd be
a huge asking price.
I wouldn't want to throw much more in if I was dropping from four to six. And you make the point, maybe you don't even have to. But yeah, something like your third rounder, if you see Tunsil go for a second rounder, your extra third rounder that you got for Judon, maybe you could even get away with something less than that. I'm interested, though. And I didn't even make this connection. Good point by the Twitch chat. They always have good stuff in there.
Yeah, always.
Connection to Josh McDaniels, which I hadn't even thought of. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Well, right, you have to ask Colton.
But you have intel on him, would be the point.
Long arms.
If the Patriots get him, Keith, toss of the week?
Yeah, this guy blocks out the sun. He's like, he's over 6'8". 325, I think.
We can't make him Haas of the Week just for being available in the trade.
I mean, Haas of the Week nominee.
Haas of the Week nominee. The Patriots trade for him.
Haas of the Week.
Done deal, Haas of the Week.
He gets it.
Okay.
He absolutely gets it.
Okay, good.
34 1/8 inch arms at the combine back in 2018.
Nice.
Yeah. Take that, Will Campbell.
Even if they shrink a little bit in his older age, the closer he gets to 30, those are still sizable arms.
He's over 6'8.5". He's 6'9 in cleats. This guy's a freak show.
Haas.
Yeah, Haas.
Haas of the Week nominee here on Jones and Keith.
But yeah, that would be, that really opens the door up, right? Because we already had a bunch of people based on our love it or hate it polls that we're doing for all these players at the top of the draft. People are pretty mixed towards not really loving the Will Campbell pick. This makes, I think the people that even like Will Campbell, like me, for example, like I like Will Campbell. But if you take Colton Miller, it really frees you up to get one of these dynamic players. So if you walk away with Colton Miller and Ty Warren, for example, okay.
Right.
Now you're cooking.
There's no wide receiver in play at four.
People like Tet McMillan. No, I
not
don't.
Not at four.
He's in a lot of top tens in drafts.
Eh.
No, I'm with you. But I'm just saying I wouldn't completely overlook it. I bet he gets drafted pretty high.
Okay. So look, what I would
Shine
say.
Shine had a mock draft 1.0. Well, he had Tet McMillan four.
That's true. I want to see where he's in the final Shine mock draft. But it would free you up to truly take the best player available.
Yes.
Because I think even Field Yates would agree it's a small reach and it's drafting for a need, but he is ignoring his own big board at four to take Will Campbell.
I wouldn't hate the Mason Graham pick as much. I still would want an offensive player for Drake May.
But I would be much, if they trade for Colton Miller, now you have a left tackle.
You're like, okay, you want to D-tackle, I guess.
And you're taking your best player available. Fine. Yeah. I'm with you. I wouldn't love it, but I would like it more.
What if
then
you still
draft
Will Campbell and put him at guard?
Then all the Will Campbell tackle people would be really exposed.
That's true.
And we could officially all in on the Haases is what they're doing.
Best Haas available.
So you can jump in on Colton Miller, the left tackle with the Raiders who wants a new contract. McDaniels knows him. Pat should have intel on him. I'm not sure if it's a good or a bad thing that he's got a relationship with Josh McDaniels. That would free up the Patriots to do a lot. At pick four, what would it take to get him? How badly do you want him? Again, 617-779-7937. Real quick, before we get to the phone calls here, Keith, who are the real Red Sox? Are they the team?
Oh, my God.
Are they the team that, you know, can't score, which they were again, despite the win last night? Are they the team that's responded to Alex Cora these last couple of days, which seems closer, not exactly, but closer to our preseason expectations? Are they the team that's been blitzed a couple of times by the White Sox and the Rays in the last week? Who are the real Red Sox?
So the Red Sox are inconsistent bats and one good starting pitcher and a pretty good bullpen. I think that's kind of what the Red Sox are right now.
Bullpen was awesome last
night. So I think you got a bullpen you can count on. You have Garrett Crochet who you can count on. And then you have guys who can hit, but it's just wildly inconsistent. You'll have a hot streak by Willy Abreu, a hot streak by Alex Bregman, even in the middle there, a hot streak by Rafael Devers. but it seems to be wildly inconsistent, and you're not stacking too many of those guys together. They've had way too many games where they've scored one or two runs. Like, it's wild. I think on the broadcast the other night, I forget what the exact number was, but Lou Maloney actually was talking about their record when they score three runs or more versus their record when they score two runs or less.
Which is, by the way, that's such an infinitesimal, that's so small of a nut. Three runs?
Three. And like, their record was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, no, but the fact, I forget what their record was. It was like 0-8. I guess yesterday would be a win, right? 1-0. So maybe they're like 1-8 when they score two or less. But he's like, the real numbers there. They've scored that few runs that many times?
Seriously.
Like, so I think that's what it is right now. They haven't had anything. You can't rely on their bats at all.
Last night was clean. I think no errors. Trevor Story had a phenomenal play back defensively last night.
So we should start doing the days of that error and update that.
Back-to-back clean games. they only struck out seven times last night.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Your guy...
Chucked the Iceman Liddell and got five.
The prop didn't hit.
No, he didn't, but he got five.
No, he's striking him out. But only seven strikeouts for the Red Sox.
I checked. Seven!
Thank you. I checked this morning. I think they still lead the bigs in both, but it's tightened up quite a bit.
Yeah.
In both those categories.
Hit another dong, though, last night.
Put another dinger on the board there.
David
for our
dong.
Guy, Hammy. Yeah. So here's what I want to know. Can they take care of business against the White Sox?
Holy smokes.
When that series starts up tomorrow?
Four-game series.
Is it?
Four-gamer. Yeah, well,
oh, yeah,
they got
right.
The marathon game.
Duh, right. I was going to say, I was like, there's no game today.
Weekend
right.
Wraparound, they call
right,
it.
Right,
the
right,
biz.
Right, 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 right. The
so
old
four-game series.
Wraparound.
Because it's four games, I'll say you got to win three.
Okay, fine. I'm with you.
Sweep, maybe. Sweep would be nice. Sweep would make up for what happened before. At least then you'd be, 5-2 against the White Sox?
Don't split with this dumb team. Don't drop three out of four. So, okay.
No, they're trash.
Who are the real Red Sox? Let's start with beat up on this crap-ass team at Fenway Park on what is a big weekend in the city of Boston.
Huge.
A huge day. On Monday for the entire city.
Going to be good weather. They can't complain about the weather that day.
Beat up on this team.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can start really buying in.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Let's get to some phone calls. We have Rob Bradford standing by about 20 minutes from now. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. We also have Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon today.
Woo!
Move from yesterday to today. Yeah. So mark that down. Adjust your programming schedule accordingly. John is in Revere. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Great show today.
Thank you.
Hey, real quickly, what do you guys think about Anthony Belton in the second round? I don't see too much from Will Campbell, and he projects out to be a guard in his career.
Is Belton NC State? Is that right?
I'm not sure offhand school he's from.
So we're getting a little deep. Thank you. A thumbs up in the back from Nick. We're getting a little deeper in the tackle group than I personally would be comfortable.
No, I don't think you want to go down that far.
So... You know, to me,
Simmons would be the guy.
Yeah, I
from
think
Ohio State.
When we talked
late
about
in the
it,
first.
We talked about this with Field Yates earlier. So everybody's like, you get stuck at four. I've said this. I think you're stuck at four. I think if you want to move down from four to, six with the Raiders, eight with the Panthers, nine with the Saints, whatever. If you want to move down, I think you'd have to take way less than the Jimmy Johnson trade chart or whomever, the Rich Hill trade chart, not the ex-Red Sox pitcher. The trade value, I think you'd have to really sacrifice a lot to move down because no one is paying a freight to move up.
At this point, sorry.
But there's a buying opportunity is the other side of the coin to move up.
This and Belton guy would be Hoss of the Week, by the way. 6'6", 336.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
I don't
move over Colton Miller.
I don't pretend to know a lot about him. I did know the school. It should be easier to move up from 38 to get these tackles is my only point.
I'm still just my head swimming about somebody knowing an obscure prospect but not the college.
What about Belton? Yeah, that's
you
the
guys like
State
Belton?
Guy, right? I don't know.
I don't know where the hell he went.
Yeah.
I just know he's a Hoss. Like, okay. That's strange because I'm the other way. I'm like, you know the kid from like Missouri?
Yeah,
like, I'm horrible with names. Right. So like, you know the kid from Missouri? And you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. He's like, how about Belton? I'm like, what?
Where'd he go?
Don't know.
Couldn't tell
you. You guys tell me.
I read a mock today.
I
he
want
was
him,
in
though. Like, all
so,
right, fair enough.
For me personally, the names we covered,
yeah.
And you can go find them on the Odyssey app, you
yeah,
can
yeah.
see it on YouTube, the names we covered at tackle, which are, I'm not taking Campbell at four, but if they move down to six, eight, nine, I would take Campbell in that range personally.
Yeah.
Membu, I would be more hesitant because he's a right tackle.
But now that Colton Miller...
I like Simmons. I don't love Connerly. Like, those are kind of the names we were talking about that I'd be comfortable with.
But now that Colton Miller is available, I feel like you don't really want to trade down and get Will Campbell. Like, I'd be more likely to sink my resources, and then it'll also be a big contract, right? Because the reason why he is available is because he wants a new deal with the Raiders. They haven't given it to him yet. And so you're right. There is that Josh McDaniels connection, which is not nothing, because you look at all the free agents they have brought in to this point, with the exception of Steph Diggs, and even Diggs played for McDaniels' brother. So like, they've all been connected to either Williams, Vrabel, or McDaniels.
Yeah.
I think maybe not Milton Williams, but everybody else has been.
I thought, was there another connection with Diggs as well, or was it just McDaniels and his brother? Maybe it was just McDaniels.
I think that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah. But no, but look, maybe Colton Miller's like, I don't want to play for that guy.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, they're just disagreeing over a contract. He's not showing up to voluntary workouts, which people years ago used to not even bat an eye at.
Yeah.
Over Tom Brady. They're like, whatever, Tom Brady, they're voluntary. You know, they're voluntary. You don't have to show up. It's voluntary. So now everybody's like, oh, he wants out and he's coming to the Patriots. I mean, that feels wildly inconsistent, but I would be consistent on it. I think when guys are skipping out on voluntary workouts, it's telling. He wants a new deal. Maybe the Raiders give it to him. Maybe somebody else ups the offer, but he's available, I think, and you can go get him.
How about this? Good job by John Lyons. You hear him on WEEI and on weekends and fill-ins. He tweeted out that Josh McDaniels, of course, had Colton Miller with the Raiders. Miller was a captain for the team in 2023. And here's a quote from McDaniels.
Probably leading the charge to get McDaniels fired, or maybe not.
No, well, McDaniels had this to say about him in May of 2022. He said, yeah, he's one of our best workers. There's no doubt about it. And you can see why he has improved each year that he's been in the National Football League. He puts a lot of time and effort into the facility. He works really hard in the weight room. He's in great condition. He studies hard. In order to be really good in the league, there's a lot of things you got to do well. And Colton gives a great effort every day at everything that he's responsible for.
Nice.
So at least McDaniels likes him.
Sounds like he'd be on board.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix that in. Bob's in New Jersey on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show as always.
Yeah, thanks.
When we went into the season here, the thing about this team that I was really excited about was the rotation. It was supposed to be very good. Not only Crochet, but Walker Buehler and Tanner Houck and even Bayo and Giolito and all these guys.
Sure.
It's been a really big, outside of Crochet, that guy's a freaking beast, that guy.
Sure.
And Haas. We knew he was going to be a beast. But Tanner Houck, I mean, this guy, he had Hawk, whatever. He's got to get his act together, this guy. I mean, it's been terrible. That game against the Rays, I'd rather have me pitch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was something bad out there. But once this rotation comes around, that's going to be the strength of the team. They're gonna be really good when he gets coming around and all these guys are healthy and going together.
Okay.
There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile.
How you doing?
Frankie Carbone.
Is this the grab bag one?
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy. And his guy's Frankie the... Freddie No Nose.
All right, okay. Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Was that a real New Jersey accent?
I think so.
And then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And you had Nicky Eyes.
Oh, okay. I mean, let's just land the grab bag.
And Mikey Francesi.
That guy, yeah, I want to see him.
And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice. Like,
I'm gonna go get the grab bag. Get the grab bag.
There you go. We got to play that one a lot, but thanks to Bob.
How long is that one?
That's 46 seconds. I trimmed it down.
Honestly, I give it's a good idea. It's a long walk for the payoff there from Billy, but I like it's good work by Billy.
It is good stuff.
Real New Jersey accent, I'm not so sure.
Stuff about the rotation, though.
He doesn't like Tanner Houck's start to the year. I would co-sign.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm
hasn't
with you.
Been great.
With you on that one, Bob.
Yep.
How's about one of your favorites, Keith? Stephen Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
How are you? I enjoyed your interview with that fellow from ESPN, but
Field Yates.
He says he's got 1, 2, 3. Does this sound like you're getting your value if you take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter? I see that, but fourth, you just burn it on Will Campbell. Does that sound like those are all equal? He says this guy might be his fifth best player. That's all well and good. But that's not an equal, those aren't equal worths of your fourth round pick.
Well, I think he illustrated that.
No, he did.
He said you'd sprint to the podium for the other two.
Right. You want to be picking first. You're not. So now that you move past that and you're saying you're picking at four, he says by taking a lineman, which looks like you're taking it on need, he's saying it's not that much of a reach. So yeah. He clearly has a pecking order. He says Hunter's the best player in the entire draft.
Yeah, he has Hunter
over
Carter.
So obviously
he
wants him the most.
Which you agree with.
I agree with Field on that. And then I would take Carter. Like, those two guys are more obviously loves. You'd like to pick higher in the draft. That's not like a newsflash.
No. I mean, I wish they were picking one.
Yeah.
But the way Field said it is right. It Cam Ward's going one. That's done. It's happening. And so then you hope that Hunter or Carter drop. If not, who's your guy at four? For me, it's Jenty. For you, it's Campbell. And it really is the Patriots picking third. Cross Cam Ward off. They didn't need him anyway. So whoever's third on their board, to me, they should take. And if Will Campbell were a more airtight left tackle prospect, then I would, I guess, be okay applying the need. Or if Tet McMillan was a wide receiver I like more, I'd be okay with drafting for need at four. But I'm not sure that one guy's a tackle. I'm not sure the other guy is, you know, worth drafting even in the first round, quite frankly, with McMillan. So I would stick to the board there. And if Field were sticking to his board, it would be Mason Graham next, then Jenty, then Campbell, fifth overall. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We'll continue the Hate It or Love It series coming up at 11:45. Will Campbell, you can still vote. Still time. A lot of votes there and a lot of hate for Will Campbell as the selection at four. If you disagree or agree, go vote at Jones and Keefe. Today's player will be Ashton Jenty, the running back out of Boise State. We'll get to that about a half hour from now. And more Red Sox talk with Rob Bradford.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith, another jam-packed program for you. We got Terp, Pure Hoops with Terp, I should say.
Yes.
At high noon, had to move by a day. He was standing around, poor Terp.
Yeah.
Waiting for Jaylen Brown.
When's Jaylen Brown going to talk?
Waiting. When's he going to talk? What's up with his knee? How
Did
healthy
not talk.
Is he? Didn't talk.
Huh.
So we're reading into that.
Sure.
We'll ask Terp about it. At high noon, if you miss Field Yates, he joined us in the 10 o'clock hour. You can seek that out on the Odyssey app. And joining us right now here on WEEI is Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. And, of course, Baseball Isn't Boring, the podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Oh. McFarland to you, Rob.
Hey, can you just bring Terp in the room just to yell McFarland? He's so good at it, man.
Terp, he'll get on his horse, and he'll run down the hallway.
Is his face, like, pressed against the glass? I mean, you paint
we keep him outside,
picture,
yeah. Yeah.
No disrespect to any of these other fine companies, the E.L. Harvey Company, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. McFarland to you, Rob. What's going on?
I am just waiting for the NFL draft to end. You know why? So we can talk some good MLB draft talk, right?
Ooh,
let's go.
Nice.
Let's go. Travis Pastrana, first pick last year.
Travis Pastrana?
Travis Pastrana.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. It is... I will say this as a quick aside with the draft stuff. The MLB draft is so desperately trying to emulate in some way the NFL draft. I've been to the draft
the
last...
I have a tip. Don't do it in the middle of your season. That'd be a good place to start. Don't
terrible
do it in the
idea.
Middle of your year.
By the way, the teams would be are all on board with what you're talking about because, okay, you're getting ready for the trade deadline. Let's do another thing. Let's have to get ready for the draft. And then go... the All-Star game, and I went to this thing last year, and it was so bizarre because only like six guys showed up for the first round. I think the first pick was like the seventh overall pick. It's just, you know, it's, I think maybe we talked about it. It's just so bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. I want it to be like the NFL draft, but then you see the drone shots of the NFL draft, and you're like, nah, not happening. Nope.
Who are the real Red Sox, Rob? We've seen them get blown out by the White Sox and Rays. They've won these last two games. They struggle to score. They strike out a ton. They make a bunch of errors. Cora called them out. Who are the real Red Sox?
You know, I am anxious to see if they go on a run here and we look back at that Cora, as you said, the Cora thing after the game the other night, Monday night, and we're like, okay, well, that was a turning point. I don't know. It's a nice narrative. We'd like to tie all of those things in a nice little bow. But I do know this, is that Alex Cora doesn't do that a lot. I wrote this. I think the last time I remember him doing it this early in the season was 2019 when they got off that terrible start on that 11-game road trip. And, you know, they come back and they play better and they win the last two. But I think that you ask, like, what they are. I think they're still a good team in a tremendously flawed American League. And that's why they can keep in this. I mean, we are talking sky is falling for the last couple of weeks. And here they sit at 10-10, right in the middle of it, just like everybody else. And that's how the American League is. But I do know this, is that they got to fix some stuff, man. They got to fix some stuff. It's all right if you have a guy, for instance, that you have to bury in the lineup because they aren't producing. But when that guy is the cleanup hitter that for the first 2 weeks of the season that you're all of a sudden you're burying way down the lineup because you're just trying to take the pressure off, that isn't a dynamic that's good for anybody. They got to clean some stuff up here in the coming days.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted out about Tristan Casas. In 2023, he got out to a really slow start and then ended up having a really nice rookie season. This year, another really, really slow start. Is that all that it is, or is there something else with him?
Yeah, so first of all, we talked about this on Saturday. He is unbelievably polarizing, right? I put out that tweet, and people took it a million different ways. People loved, you know, like saying, oh, well, look at you, he should be better by now, or, oh, look at, he's going to be better because he was better a couple years ago. But I think that It is something where they're going to ride this out, much like they rode it out a couple years ago in by moving him down the lineup. But the difference here is that he's had a couple years now. He should be better. He shouldn't get off to this bad start. And the other part of this is that they're relying on him. This is the biggest thing. They're relying on this guy to be a middle-of-the-order hitter. And he hasn't been the middle of the order hitter. And we saw what happened. You know, the best thing for Tristan Casas in the first week or week and a half of the season was Rafi Devers striking out a million times because no one was paying attention. Now Devers is getting the occasional hit, and you're saying, all right, now you need Casas to hit the ball between the lines. So I do think that they'll ride it out for a little bit longer here. But still, the fact of the matter remains the same. Is that how they built this team, how they built this lineup, it's an enormous part of the equation.
Yeah, and so they have pretty good depth, however, not at first base. Like, at first base, they really don't have a true backup. And even though I wouldn't really call for this, is there anything, like you said, they ride this out, but let's say another month goes by and it's sort of similar. Is there any kind of pull to having a guy like friend of the show, Marcelo Meyer, work on first base? He just says he wants to play in the bigs, and you played him at second, short, and third in spring. Roman Anthony, I wouldn't really consider doing it either, but if you're trying to get these guys up at this level, and if Willy Abreu and Trevor Story and all these guys are still playing well, there's no real avenue for them. Is there a scenario where one of those guys ends up, you know, taking some grounders at first just to see what it looks like?
I mean, honestly, I think it would be Anthony before Meyer, but and I don't think it's going to be either one. You never say never, but they you're right. The solutions after Casas aren't that simple. The first step is platooning him with Roman Gonzalez, which they sort of have a little bit already. So that's the first step. They've worked out Vaughn Grissom, who's hitting really, really well at AAA. He's played some first base. But they haven't put Anthony there. They haven't put Meyer there. There isn't the logical, this is the next guy up solution. And so, like I said, I mean, this is why they're going to ride this guy out. I mean, you don't jump ship on Tristan Casas because of the first 3 weeks of the season. They know that. But you can't go much deeper than they went in 2023 when he turned everything around. And that was, I think, mid to late May. And so you get to that point and you haven't turned things around, then you're going to start having different conversations. And who's to say that if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't turn it around, then all of a sudden this position that you would never have thought at the trade deadline, you have to start entertaining. And another thing that's going to start cropping up is, oh, okay, Vlad's signed. Who's the next best available guy who's going to solve the problem at first?
Oh,
Alonso. I mean, Pete Alonso,
Pete,
right?
Alonso is the polar bear. Yeah. I like it. Some of us have him in the Dong draft pool, so that's that'd be a good selection. Rob Bradford, WEEI, Baseball Isn't Boring. Check it out on the Odyssey app. Is Devers taking ground balls over at first? Is that a thing?
You know, I haven't seen him do it. I wasn't on this trip, so there were some rumblings that maybe there that he was, or I haven't seen him do it. I know when Cora was asked by the guys in the afternoon show if that's an option, he flat out said no.
Well, he didn't exactly answer if he's taking. He said no, he's not an option, but he didn't really say he's not taking grounders at first, which is why.
Yeah,
I mean, I said
if he's taking grounders, and I will say this, he takes grounders. I mean, he takes grounders all the time. I have seen
well, why?
Before all these games.
If he's a DH, why? Like, I just feel like.
Well, yeah. And listen, you're preaching the converted here, man. Like, he is. I didn't like when they just said you're the DH and nothing else. I think that you do the best course of action for Rafael Devers is to integrate him in the field. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know he's going to get used to DH, but there's nothing wrong with showing the guy the field every once in a while, limber up, do whatever. I mean, just have him throw him a bone in that respect. He's not, he's never played the position before. I go back to JD Martinez about how he said when he started doing that, when he has the DH almost all the time, how important it was just to play the field once in a while. I don't know why they dug in so much on he's the DH and only the DH. And also, when it comes to the first base thing, this drives me nuts about spring training. Why don't you just put him out there for a day, a couple of days, to introduce, to see, hey, you know what? This is what it looks like. I they're still dug in on him DHing all the time. But, you know, again, never say never, but not right now.
Bigger issue or concern for the team right now, Tristan Casas or Tanner Houck?
I think Tanner Houck. Yeah, I think Tanner Houck, because in spring training, it was sort of a roller coaster with him throughout spring training. It wasn't like this lockdown guy that we had become accustomed to. Obviously, after the All-Star break, there were some issues last year. And then, you have that outing that you had the other day. You had the good one before, just way too inconsistent. It's just such a far cry from what it was a year ago with Tanner Houck, which was this guy who was uber confident in all of his abilities and just one of the best pitchers in the American League. So, I think that Tristan Casas, a week from now, we could be saying, oh man, he's on fire. But the body of work that Tanner Houck has had throughout the last couple months makes me worry a little bit. He might turn it around too. But the fact of the matter is that, like I said, the image that he's portraying is far from the image that we got a year ago.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. Check out the latest. I think, what did I see? It's you, Ottavino again.
Oh, yeah. We try to do it once a week. Ottavino's not doing anything else right now. I found out. I asked him, like, does he get called up for a day, with the Yankees? Like, what do you get paid? And he said, I got paid $4,000. I'm like, see, that
nice.
I would have never known that.
Such a direct question.
I've never
yeah,
known seriously. That.
What
you
do you
get
make
paid.
Over there?
Yeah, exactly.
How many women have you slept with?
I mean, that's next week.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, so it's a lot of good stuff. But Julian McWilliams also joins. So it's the big three. Those three.
Okay,
yeah,
nice. The big three on the Odyssey app. Check it out. Baseball isn't boring, and of course, all his work on WEEI.com. He mentioned writing about Cora calling out the team earlier this week, mm-hmm. the earliest in the year we've seen him do it since probably 2019, which didn't end great for the Red Sox that year, an 84-win team. Brad Foe, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Rob Bradford joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEE.
Who are you more worried about, Houck or Casas?
Probably Casas.
I think I might go Houck.
They need pitching.
Yeah.
And Houck's been so bad.
They've both been bad.
But
it's not. There's no right or wrong answer.
Casas to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. There feels like a little more. I know Brad Foe just said there's none of the cockiness and the attitude from a year ago. I feel like Houck seems to have more of a personality to pull out of it, whereas Casas might just nosedive. I know he started slow before. But
came in with really high expectations.
They did.
I mean, Houck was an all-star last year and your number two starter to begin the year. Casas was hitting cleanup and the chief baseball officer said he's good for 41-10. So, I mean, they're
he was still talking him up this morning. You heard the front office report today. He was still talking up Casas today, for God's sakes.
I mean, I guess you have to.
So, no, when Brad Foe goes, I don't get why they came out so adamantly that Devers is the DH, I bet it's Devers.
I actually don't mind it.
I bet. No, I know you don't. Yeah. And the Twitch chat is calling me out. They're like, I thought you hated Devers in the field. Well, I don't think he's a good defensive player. I didn't say never put him in the field again. And why don't you see if you can play him at first base?
Like they may need to have somebody else play first base.
The thing is, Bregman is a good third baseman. He's made a lot of errors, but Bregman is a good third baseman. There's a long track record there. Cassis isn't a good first baseman.
No.
So is it possible Devers takes some grounders over there and he's better at first than Cassis? That's possible. But if you think it's inconsistent, that's fine. What I was going to bring up was the what was the other thing we asked him? Cassis,
McFarlane?
Oh, no, I bet it's a Devers thing. I bet the reason they're dug in, not McFarlane. I bet the reason the team didn't come out and say he's the DH. I bet he's like, guys, if you're moving me to DH, I'm not doing this for you.
Could be.
I'm not going to play the field. If I'm the DH, I'm the DH.
Or I
bet he's pouting about it. Maybe. That's what I bet.
It also could be them reading the room and be like, all right, well, this kind of blew up in our face before, so we probably shouldn't go back and forth. And, you know, it's like when you tell somebody one thing and then you got to, like, 2 weeks later kind of circle back and be like, we actually didn't really entirely mean that.
Yeah,
it's like, well,
yeah,
we just had a big, like, blow-up about it, and now you're asking me to go back in the field?
Here's the thing. The guy's just a DH. He shouldn't be taking grounders, right?
Like, yeah, weird.
He shouldn't be out there taking grounders at first base, so they're saying he's just the DH.
Yeah.
I'm curious if, especially when the Red Sox get back home on Friday, are we going to see him taking grounders at first base? And if he is that a sign of something? Because if he's just the DH, what's he taking grounders out there for? 617-779-7937. We have Pure Hoops with Terp. Going to join us in studio a day later than normal for all of your Celtics talk. Coming your way at high noon. We'll get back to the C's in the noontime hour as well. On the way next, the people love it, hate it, or love it. Ashton Jeanty, would you hate or love that pick at number 4? It's available now at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Go vote, and we'll give our thoughts on it next. Hate it or love it every day here on Jones and Keefe. We have the final results on yesterday's player, Will Campbell, at pick 4. Do you hate it or love it? 56% of you hate it.
Wow.
Not a fan of Will Campbell.
Hate it.
At pick number 4. I'm sorry, one more time. What was that?
Hate it.
There you go. They are not fans of it.
Perfect. They would not want Will Campbell. That is pretty surprising because there's a big, or so I thought, community of linemen.
I told you.
To linemen.
I think we figured it out.
Small and loud.
They are the offensive line, the tackle hardos.
Yeah.
They are noisy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's just not as many as you would expect out there.
Not many of them.
Small and loud is exactly it. They're compensating for something. All those tackle hardos out there. But again,
the Carter people, big and quiet. Because we don't hear a lot of Abdul Carter talk, and then you put it on a poll question, and like 90-something percent loved it.
Okay, so 56% hate the Will Campbell.
Interesting.
Pick. It's a good exercise here. That trails 92% who love the Abdul Carter pick, 84% love the Travis Hunter pick. On the board right now at Jones and Keefe, you can vote on Twitter and Instagram. Ashton Jeanty at pick number 4. Would you hate or love selecting Ashton Jeanty, running back out of Boise State?
I would love it. I would. Now, I don't think most times you would draft a running back this high, but this isn't most times. Jeanty, and we just talked to Field Yates about it last hour. The gap between Ashton Jeanty and the next running back is more significant than any of the other top players we're talking about and the next guy at their position. I think it'd be dynamic to add to this backfield, whether it's with Ramondre Stevenson or if you end up flipping Ramondre Stevenson in a trade somewhere else. This guy could be a Pro Bowler in short order. He's an absolute beast. You're giving Drake May a weapon. Yeah, it doesn't solve your left tackle situation, but it does give him a lot of help. And we know some of the Mike Vrabel's best teams had great running games in Tennessee. So I would love the Ashton Jeanty pick.
I love it.
And I know you would, too. You've been talking about Jeanty for a while.
I am a fan.
I love it.
I would also love it. And I love it even more. Do you see his Players Tribune entry?
No, but I saw him work out with his shirt off. So I'm sold.
I love it.
I do love
it. No, he had a great line. I didn't read the whole Players Tribune thing, but he did have one awesome line.
First of all, Players Tribune's still a thing?
Apparently.
Really didn't realize that. The most notorious Players Tribune, I think you were on the air when this happened.
I had to read it to breaking news, and it was like, it wasn't like a simple tweet. It was like buried in the second paragraph. It was Kevin Durant choosing the Warriors.
I remember that.
And I was
well.
Like, where are you going?
I remember you being on that day. I remember it was Players Tribune.
Uh-huh.
I remember all that. So he concludes the Players Tribune. He says, I believe I was born to do this.
Nice.
I truly believe what makes me different isn't about the position I line up at.
No.
It's about the mindset I bring. He said, those 11 dudes on defense, they're on a football field playing football. Me, my mind, I'm still in the backyard with my friends playing no one can touch me. I've taken the long way. I'm done with that way. If you pick me, it's simple. I'm coming to your franchise to do what Saquon and the Eagles just did.
Oh, man.
I'm coming to win big soon. He says it's tackle football, all caps. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I draft the guy they can't tackle.
Ah, that's a great line.
Hell yeah.
That is an amazing line.
Thank you for your time, Ashton Genty. I would love this pick. Assuming Carter and Hunter aren't there, this is the best player in the draft. This is a position of need. It would help Drake May on offense. It's not their biggest position of need, but it would help. And I know he's going to be a running back. I know he's going to be a high-level runner. I think he's going to be a high-level running back. I guess you could have said the same thing about Trent Richardson and guys like this.
Sure.
But
Saquon.
If he's Ezekiel Elliott, if he's Saquon Barkley, that's a worthwhile pick. And as you said, Keith, most years is drafting a running back in the top four bad business? Probably.
Yeah, most years.
Probably not ideal. This is not most years. The alternative is you draft Will Campbell, who might be a guard, at four. You draft Armon Membu, who is a right tackle, at four. You draft Tet McMillan, you reach for him at four.
Yeah.
Undersized Mason Graham at four. Jalen Walker doesn't have a position at four. The point is, there's no perfect player here.
Unless you know what Carter, you're getting, I think.
Unless Carter or Hunter drop into your lap, there's no perfect player. This guy has the biggest chance to hit and be a Pro Bowl caliber player and help you. We got a text earlier today. What about his game against Penn State? What about it? He had 100-plus yards and three catches and 20-whatever receiving yards.
When 100. 11 guys were in the box.
Yeah. I was going to say, just all they did was key on him, and he still had a pretty good game.
Our guy Field Yates had an awesome tweet earlier today.
I'm going to be on Jones and Keefe?
On Ashton Genty. It was nothing about Jones and Keefe on the Field Yates timeline. He said, the most rushing yards in FBS in 2024. Ashton Genty, 2601. I mean, he made a run at Barry Sanders records in college football last year.
Yeah.
Number two in college football last year? With 1,733 yards, Ashton Genty after contact. So if you just took his yards after contact,
right,
he would have led college football more than Cam Scataboo, more than Amarian Hampton, more than Bryson Daly, whoever that is.
Which is good, because with the Patriots O-line, there's going to be a lot of contact.
There's going to be a lot of contact.
Plenty of contact. But this is where that Colton Miller story comes into play. If you trade for Colton Miller and then draft Ashton Genty, like, what a coup. You bring both those guys, so it's been real quiet, right? So Drake May is probably sitting there thinking, okay, good, another defensive player, another defensive player, another defensive player. And then in the last couple of weeks, you say, no, Steph Diggs, Colton Miller, Ashton Genty, and that's not even including the high second round pick, which could move up into the first round. That's starting to become the dream scenario, really.
I mean, look, that would be great. You get your tackle via trade, you get Genty, and now you're cooking. So again, you can vote at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram, at Pick 4. How would you feel about the Patriots selecting Ashton Genty? Keefe would love it. I would love it. Early returns, a lot of you would not be fans of it.
No, they would not.
But those are just early returns. We're not closing precincts. We're not calling anything here early.
There's a lot of time left.
It's not a 15-minute poll. Five-minute poll?
It's
not a five-minute poll. It's a 24-hour poll. So we'll do the research there. You could vote, and we'll get you the results tomorrow at 11:45 when we give you our next prospect on the clock, Mason Graham, D-tackle out of Michigan. 617-779-7937. That's hate it or love it. We'll get to Pure Hoops with Terp joining us in studio next.